Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay. Here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
With the White Sox, Walker McKinven. He's the new bench coach for Will Venable. Went and grabbed himself a bench coach from Milwaukee, and Pat Murphy, who won Manager of the Year, was talking about losing him.
Yeah, I mean, Walker's magnificent. I think the White Sox are moving in the right direction for sure. It's going to hurt us, there's no question. Walk only has 9 fingers, so we will be able to get a 10-fingered guy in there, but...
What? That is amazing. That is incredible.
We'll be able to get a 10-fingered guy in there. That's where the Brewers have come up short.
We will be able to get a 10-fingered guy in there.
In his fight with this guy with the one arm, and he had, which was his right or left arm, he had that little gimmick on it.
Right arm.
Was it one of those with the hooks, or?
Boog actually said that Pat Murphy is 80 grade funny. Like on the scouting scale.
20 to 80 scouting, he's an 80.
That Pat Murphy is 80 grade funny.
Walk only has 9 fingers, so.
If Jesse Rogers were on the air, he would have asked Walker McKinven, how long have you had 9 fingers out of 10?
Well, see, that could actually be a legitimate question.
So the answer wouldn't be all my life, like Antonio Alfonseca said about his 6-6.
My guest on the pregame show is the fine stopper for the Chicago Cubs, Alfonseca. And Al, it's great to have you aboard, big boy, and continue success.
Thank you, sir.
That could be a legitimate question. There could have been some sort of accident in a factory.
Yeah, it's true.
She said there's some tractor story that she hasn't told me about.
Walk only has 9 fingers, so we will be able to get a 10-fingered guy in there.
But you gotta believe that a 2-arm player would have made the catch. In fact, a 1-arm player would have at least had a shot at it, which calls to mind the question once again, why, with all the 2-armed youngsters waiting in the minor leagues, does this team stick with an armless second baseman?
And he hasn't had a hit in ever.
In ever, Jerry. In ever.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
I will pledge to you right now, if I ever get a sit-down or a radio chat fest with Walker McKinven, new bench coach for the White Sox, my second question will be, which finger is missing and how did it happen?
Let's see him. Put him out. Give me 10.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi. How we all do? I got a quick trivia question for you right off the bat here.
I love it.
Can you name the name of the no-arm pitcher on Family Guy?
The second baseman?
The second baseman. Can you name that player? Great, great prospect, but obviously things in the end did not go well for him because of his armlessness.
No.
Do you remember the name of the player?
I know that it's based on the one-armed player from the 1930s, Pete Gray.
Oh, I was thinking more Jim Abbott, but I guess Pete Gray may have played a position?
Yes.
Okay.
Pete Gray was a hitter with one arm, and I believe a second baseman. But I don't know. I don't remember.
And Jim Abbott had two arms, right? He just had one hand.
That
right?
That is true.
Am I right? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. He did have a second arm. It was short.
Oh, man.
He used to put the glove right there underneath the little...
Hey, foreshadowing, Grody. I don't think this is going to be a good opening segment for you.
The gimmick. He had a little gimmick.
Who was it, Grody? Who was the player?
Bucky LaRue. Am I right, Tanny? Is it Bucky LaRue?
No!
Oh! It's not Bucky.
It's not Bucky LaRue?
I gave the wrong answer to my own trivia question.
I thought that was it!
Who was it, then?
I was gonna correct you in the talk back while the open was playing because you said that name to me and I was like, oh, what's the point? I don't want to do that.
Much right better radio.
It is better radio, yes. But I did not think we would take it to the next level and do a trivia out of the open. So I don't regret not correcting you.
No, that's all good. Who was it, though?
Close. Bucky LaGrange.
LaGrange.
Ray wondering if you're thinking of Rusty LaRue, if that's who you're thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
Probably
yeah,
is.
Yeah, good old Rusty LaRue. Yeah, Ray.
Bucky LaGrange.
Yes,
well,
Bucky
you
LaGrange.
Were close. You were close, Mark.
Yeah.
We're not going to hold it against you. We're going to let you do the entire radio show.
Thank you.
You
I think
are
that,
welcome.
Believe it or not, that benefits you, too, to have me here. So
I think that's true.
You have no choice.
Yeah, we're back to the days of Spiegel and Company right here on 670 The Score. It's Spiegs and Grody.
Hey.
Grody in for Lawrence Holmes. As we mentioned, Nick Swardson later on, Dan Wiederer later on, Olin Krutz and Chris Emma Good are all going to be on the show, and we're going to talk plenty of Bears and Vikings football and a wide variety of other things as well. JJ on JJ action we will get to later on in the show, and Shane has something he's doing for a loved one that's going to bring to mind all the things we've all done for loved ones as well.
Aww.
But let's start, Mark Grody, with your 5-point plan on how the Bears can beat the Vikings, because I look around this world with all the predictions and I don't see a lot of Bears over Vikings predictions going on right now.
Believe it or not, I am picking the Bears to win this game, and here are the whys.
Please.
These are the reasons.
Been looking for those since Matt Nagy was here.
That's right. But yeah, I don't know if you ever did figure out the whys. Maybe some of them. And these are not necessarily in any particular order of importance, but the first thing I jotted down was the Bears are desperate. The Bears are pissed off about what happened last week. The Bears actually looked on the overall, except for the very end, pretty good. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like as good as they've looked in a while against a very good team in the Green Bay Packers, obviously. And this is a... So they are absolutely desperate at this point.
Okay.
4-6, too, with... After this game, Detroit, at Detroit, at San Francisco, at Minnesota, and then hosting Detroit. So, you have no choice but to win this game.
I saw the note today that no one has a more difficult schedule the rest of the way than the Chicago Bears. A 729 win percentage. It's the equivalent of playing against a 12-5 team the rest of the way. That from our guy Jason Leisure.
Right. So, there's the evidence. There's the backup right there. So, while
All right, so this is a tough schedule. So that means this is when they have to win?
Yes, that's part of the desperation. That is part of bullet point number one.
Okay.
That adds into the desperation because they know what's a coming. If they don't win this game, then that's as if it's not it already.
Uh-huh.
It's really it if they don't win this game. So I don't discount that. Well, I don't put that on the highest level of importance.
I think
that part goes into it.
Desperation is point number one.
Yes, yes. In Minnesota, number two here. They have won 3 straight games coming in. But let's look at who they've beaten. They've
bad
beaten
teams,
the
man.
5-6 Colts. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The 2-8 Tennessee Titans. The 2-9 Jacksonville Jaguars. Remember, the Bears had a 3-game winning streak of their own that got all of us excited and thinking that the Bears and Caleb Williams were legit. They beat the Rams, Carolina, and Jacksonville, and then they lost 4 in a row, starting with Washington. In other words, it's been a while since Minnesota has seen a real team and a real defense, at least we could say. I don't know if the Bears are a real team, but they are a real defense. So I think that is going to be a factor as well.
I think they are, they're definitely a real defense and playing here. I understand. So Minnesota, having righted the ship against Chumps after a 2-game losing streak, now a 3-game win streak against Chumps is point number two.
That is number two. We now move on to number three on why I think the Bears are going to win this Sunday against Minnesota. Sam Darnold has regressed against those bad teams. He had 3 picks against Jacksonville. He had 2 against the Colts. So I think that the Bears defense can get to him. I don't know about sack-wise, but interception-wise, and potentially put the Bears in a good situation. Jalen Johnson coming off a bad game. You know how much he wants it. So I would say be on the lookout for turnovers.
This is the method by which you beat the Vikings, that Sam Darnold turns it over. They're 26th in turnover rate in the NFL. It's haunted him his whole career. I will say that this past week, he had the best Pro Football Focus grade of his career coming off the Jacksonville game. So Kevin O'Connell got him right. But yes, he was horrendous in those 2 games just prior.
There's a vulnerability going on. Number four, as good as the Minnesota defense is, and it can be very good and can be very fun to watch. They are legitimately number one against the run.
Yep.
But this is a team that is 28th against the pass.
This is the key stat and situation of this matchup.
Bears can move the ball. The question is, can they score the ball? Because I think that Minnesota is fourth in the league in points allowed this year. Very good. So once you get it down there, can you put it in? So I think the Bears are going to be able to get into position to score, and can they rack up field goals? Can they rack up six on this defense?
Yeah, Caleb Williams hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in all four of the games in the losing streak here. Hasn't thrown a touchdown pass since five games ago. He has looked inaccurate far too often when throwing the ball down the field. Even this past game, he had Rome Odunze down the right side and threw the pass a little bit too flat.
Yep,
if he arched it a little bit more, it's probably a long touchdown pass, and Tom Brady said as much. So I've been kind of disappointed in the deep ball touch. This is how you have to beat the Vikings, is with good deep ball touch to take advantage of the blitz tendencies and some age in that secondary. So I'm with you, but I have to have it proven to me by Caleb this weekend.
I will ask you the same question Mullen Haw asked me this morning, then. Who will have more touchdowns in this game, Caleb Williams or Justin Jefferson?
Caleb and
in any way, shape, or form. I said Justin, if that helps.
It's hard not to.
Yeah. That dude, just because of what you just said. He's not getting into the end zone.
He hasn't had any.
Yeah.
And Justin Jefferson is double and triple teamed every week and still has 912 receiving yards.
Mm-hmm.
Beast.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I'd probably agree. I think it's JJ. They're JJ, not ours.
Yeah.
Fifth point, sir.
I think that, and this is the most complicated part, stopping their defense. And I do think it's going to be ugly early for the Bears and Caleb Williams. Maybe the first few series, maybe the first quarter, just because of what they're bringing, and it's going to take time for Caleb to get used to it. But I think that between Thomas Brown being here, and that puts me up a level in believing in Thomas Brown, because I was like, okay, it's all energy and no numbers. So I do think that Thomas Brown will crack the code. I think Caleb will eventually get comfortable, and the O-line is pretty, except for Ryan Bates, the O-line with Tevin Jenkins, got the injury report right here, full participant today, not even on the injury report, Tevin Jenkins is going to play. So I do think, because that was the most controversial area for me, is will they settle in? And I think the Bears offense will settle in.
So offensive rejuvenation or really settling in? You're saying
I think they're going to figure it out. The defense is going to be stingy enough against Minnesota to keep the game manageable. And then I'm not saying that Caleb Williams is going to break out. I just think that they will figure it out. That after the first few series or even after the first quarter, they will have settled into their offense and figured out where things are coming from, just enough to get the offense going and win the game.
So the offense will figure it out. Some Thomas Brown confidence, essentially, is your point.
I do have
number
some Thomas
five,
Brown
Thomas
confidence.
Brown and O-line confidence. There it is, Mark Grody's five-point plan. I like it. 312-644-6767 if you want to text. It is Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score. By the way, we are giving away a pair of tickets to go see Rod Stewart along with special guest Cheap Trick.
Oh, wow.
Perhaps the greatest band ever from the state of Illinois, Cheap Trick. On Friday, the 8th of August at the Credit Union One Amphitheater out there in Tinley Park, Illinois. Tickets are courtesy of LiveNation.com. Be caller number 6 to 312-540-0670 when you hear this.
And that's what my mom got at the house. And my mama's house is Black Jesus, my dead grandma, me at graduation, and Rod Stewart. She loves Rod Stewart.
Is that my guy, Roy Wood?
That sounds like
Roy Wood Jr., whose show on CNN is really, really funny. He does a news and comedy show on Saturday nights on CNN.
Yeah, I've caught a little bit of it. It is good.
Yeah, Roy's a lovely man. So, yeah, when you hear that, you be caller 6 to 312-540-0670, and you will win the tickets, sir.
You want to hear a little bit of stuff from the Bears injury report?
Yes, please.
Really quickly
yes,
here.
Please.
As I told you, Ryan Bates is out. Elijah Hicks not playing in this game. So Jonathan Owens expected to probably get more playing time. Adrian Colbert, maybe. DeAndre Swift, questionable for the game. Sounds like he's confident that he'll be able to play. Keenan Allen, though, added to the injury list today.
Turned an ankle in practice today?
Yes, limited because of that, but it sounds like there is optimism that he'll be able to play. So that's the new twist added to the injury report, the Keenan Allen factor.
Nightmare scenario would be no DeAndre Swift because they need him, especially running on the outside against these Vikings. Who gets the other running back carries? Are we in a Travis Homer situation?
Travis Homer, yep. Travis Homer.
That's
would probably
where we are?
Darrington Evans. You've been seeing him in the locker room lately. He's been present. His nameplate is back up in there. So those are all possibilities. But my guess is Swift will give it a go.
Sure.
And we'll see. But yeah, Travis Homer, you know.
I find Roschon Johnson to be a very useful and good second running back.
Yes, second. Exactly.
Between the tackles and good blocker on third down, good hands for some checkdowns and stuff like that. But if Roschon Johnson is getting the bulk of the carries, it scares me a little. I don't believe in him as a high-end number one back.
No, I don't either. I think that he does. Like, he's one of these guys that actually, like, we know exactly what he is. Like, uh-huh. We always talk about identity. We know exactly. He is a good NFL backup quarterback who can get you good, tough yards and every once in a while make a big play.
Texter says Local H is the greatest band from Illinois.
Oh,
Texter,
yeah.
I can tell you that if you ask Scott Lucas himself, he would take Cheap Trick over Local
H. Oh, really?
Oh, 100%.
But I know this about him. He keeps it copacetic, right?
He does, whether you get it or not.
Yeah.
670, the score is where you are. It's Spiegs and Holmes, but it's Grody, top of the hour, Dan Wiederer from the Tribune. But coming up next, is there an emerging top target among the trio of wideouts? I think there is, and there should be. Let's talk about it next on The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Obviously play the game right here. See if they can get rush the Packers. Looks like man-to-man coverage.
Fourth and three. Game on the line. Williams lofting one for a dude.
He caught it! First down. One-on-one to Adunze. Throws it to his back hip. A-plus throw.
Fourth and three. Massive, massive play. And Caleb Williams went back shoulder to Rome Odunze. Spiegs and Mark Grody on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Here's what Caleb said after the game about that completion in that moment.
You always, it's a matchup league, as everybody tells you. And so to be able to have, you know, my guy, Rome, one-on-one with somebody, went off the line, kind of knowing that the DB's, you know, in catch-up mode, you know, give him a back shoulder ball and either he's going to get a PI or he's going to catch it. And so, you know, he did just that, made the catch, great catch.
My guy, Rome Odunze. Mm-hmm. That's his guy.
Came in together and they sort of played it up like we're the two rooks coming in here to change everything.
He's also, I would argue, the best fit for the X receiver spot that Rome ought to be inhabiting a lot more. And maybe we're starting to see a little bit more of that. And we can talk about it with Dan Wiederer a little bit. because the X receiver is the one that runs a more vertical route tree. They've been using Keenan Allen a lot there, but Keenan doesn't really have the foot speed to do that anymore.
As DJ Moore mentioned the other
day. Yes, man! Because he said, like, oh, they'll be surprised if Keenan goes deep. Yeah, because the whole league's like, why are you sending Keenan deep?
Old man Keenan is a-coming.
Right.
He's a-running.
So I don't know if Thomas Brown's going to change it, but I sure hope that we see that. And maybe with Keenan's ankle, it's even more of an inspiration to get that changed. I think Roma Dunze should be the X receiver. He is the most targeted of all the wide receivers so far. He has the most yards of all the wide receivers so far on this team. And I think by the end of this year, you're going to be looking at and going like, oh, I think Rome has been established as Caleb's number one.
I hope that was the moment that Roma Dunze takes off, the 3rd and 19 and the 4th and 3, those two plays, because that would have been the story of for a lot of the week, obviously, if the kick wasn't missed. So I hope that, because we kind of did this for Caleb Williams after the Jacksonville game, we're like, that's it, he's here, we've got a quarterback, and there have been struggles since. I do want to see Rome keep on doing it, because he has had some rookie moments this year as well, like a decent amount of drops.
Yeah, he has. But he and Caleb, I think, are locked, and you heard it in the enthusiasm from Caleb there. Here's Roma Dunze in the locker room earlier this week. Mark Grody, you were there as part of the cluster of reporters talking to Rome.
Yeah, no, my coach, Junior Adams, back in the day, he said, you know, the little things turn into big things, and that's exactly what that is. You know, those little routes, those little catches that we get after practice turn into those plays. That 4th and 3 turn into that 3rd and 9, and, you know, that's football and that's life. You know, doing the little things right will eventually show on a bigger stage.
How important is the connection with you and Caleb to your development? You're trying to figure out all these things and trying to master the NFL game, but specifically with this quarterback, this will be the quarterback you're playing with for a while.
Yeah, 100%. Shoot, I mean, it's everything. You know, at the end of the day, he's the one throwing me the ball, so it's everything. You know, our connection and, you know, building that chemistry. You know, I can't have great games without him, and hopefully he can't have great games without me, you know. He's doing his thing back there, and you know, when he has that trust and believe in me, is something that brings me confidence, allows me to go out there and play freely and fast.
Where do you think you guys are at now, and what would you like to see develop in that over the rest of the season, the last 7 games?
I think we're just in the beginning phase. You know, in infant stages of this thing. You know, I have big aspirations and dreams and goals. So you know, looking back on some of the best quarterback wide receiver duos is something that is at the top of my goal sheet. With, you know, along with Caleb. So I think we're just in the infancy of this thing, being able to make those plays. You know, we got to go win Super Bowls together, got to go you know, do big things. So a 4th and 3 catch is, you know, very, very low on our list.
Following up on, you said you had great aspirations and dreams. Do you feel other moments this season where you feel like you're just about ready to blast off, like even, for example, the end of last game?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, a few plays that give you that confidence that, you know, we're going out there and doing good things and we're on the right trajectory. But, you know, at the end of the day, a football game, there's lots of mistakes made and different things. And that's why I love the game is, you know, those are those moments where you're like, man, we're about to go crazy. And then it'll humble you real quick and those different things. So, you know, I think, you know, we're on the right trajectory. We're continuing to grow. And that's the biggest thing I can, you know, be happy about is I think we're on the upward path.
When you look back at the overall operation of the offense on Sunday, just every new play calling, Cole said you guys were moving differently. How different was that compared to the previous games with a new play caller and just everything differently?
Yeah, I think Thomas has been doing, and the staff have been doing a great job of just, you know, stepping to the challenge and, you know, putting us in position to have success. And I think as players, we're embodying it even more as well, you know, understanding that, you know, the time is now and we need to, you know, execute and operate, you know, in a professional manner to get things done. And that kind of came to fruition on us with us Sunday, but, you know, it's not the time to, you know, feel happy about that. It's about, you know, doubling down on those things and having another great week.
What do you think led to the execution that you want to take on into the next to can build on, I guess?
I think it's just, you know, our preparation, you know, and coming in today. You know, it was yesterday and Monday as well, looking at those things, looking at our mistakes, Tuesday, getting our bodies right, coming in today and having a great, you know, day of practice, knowing the plays and the offensive scheme that we have today. So then, you know, build on that tomorrow, build on that Friday and then Saturday, and then, you know, have a great game Sunday. So it's all about the little things and the preparation.
We heard a lot about the play calls coming in quicker from Caleb. How does
that help you specifically to have them coming in quicker, clearer?
Right. It's, you know, a lot of times it gives us time to line up, and, you know, as a wide receivers, we're kind of looking at the defense as well and reading those things along with Caleb. So understanding what kind of coverage we're getting, what kind of technique the DBs are playing on us allows us to, you know, build a plan for that snap. And same thing with Caleb. You know, he just has to do that at a very higher level. So it helps us all.
That's about 3 minutes of Roma Dunze that Chicago radio folks had not heard in full this week, and we wanted to bring it to you because that is a very important man this weekend and beyond, Mark Grody.
Yeah, I mean, he is, and it's amazing how relative to a first-round pick in this town, like that he doesn't get the same microscope, and if Caleb wasn't here, he would in terms of where is he? Like, in the games that he didn't have great games in, there would have been a little bit. But he's also hidden, too, behind those two veterans, behind DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, and it would be great to see him get good enough to pass both of those guys up. I still think that if you're really going to make a run this year, DJ Moore has to be your best receiver and not Roma Dunze. Mm. Love the development. Love where you're coming from. Like, I don't have like a big argument against it, but I still think that DJ Moore is your most important receiver, and that includes the tight ends and everybody else catching the football.
Well, I just wanted to see them play Rome at the X so DJ can be freed up for a lot of the other stuff.
Like that.
And
yeah,
maybe we'll see some of that. Text the lines buzzing with the best band from the state of Illinois.
Yes.
Wilco getting some mentions, and deservedly so.
Did I ever tell you I went to high school with Glenn Cochey?
No!
Oh, my God. I've only said that a million times. I was a marching band. I was a marching band.
You played clarinet.
And he played the cool snare drum. Top snare. He was like the best
that
Lake Park High School had seen. So
that's outstanding. No,
none of us is surprised, but go on.
Chicago. The first 4 to 5, you know, rock and roll and funk albums from Chicago are just unbelievably great. Earth, Wind, and Fire getting a mention, deservedly so.
Absolutely.
Smashing Pumpkins, of course. And
somebody thanked you on the text line for not mentioning Smashing Pumpkins, and I was thinking, why didn't you mention Smashing Pumpkins, who I'm going to see at the Aragon Ballroom in a couple of weeks?
It's a longer conversation.
Okay.
For another time.
We have lots of commercials. We have so much to catch up on during commercial speech.
Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune will join us next. I'm told that Wiederer was in an elevator with Mark Grody and a Bears player's grandparents. I need to hear that story as part of our conversation with Weedsy next on the screen.